It's MRCTV's public service announcement with Brittany Hughes and Eric Shiner.
Welcome to the MRCTV podcast. I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brittany Hughes. I can't believe we are almost to the end of January.
Almost the end of January, and this news cycle has been
insane.
It never ends. It's like running a treadmill every week. Here to help us run that treadmill, Matt Philbin from MRC Culture. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
I'm your hamster.
Not a literal treadmill. Nobody wants to see
luckily
that,
for
Matt.
You, I'm not Richard Gere.
Oh.
Oh, zing.
Unlucky
boom.
For Shiner's Hey-o. Wife, he's not Richard Gere. Oh.
On the topic of the week, the one thing that everybody's discussing that we would be remiss if we weren't are these kids from Covington High School. The media playing up that video, that heavily edited video. They love that 30-second, that really nice short video that showed the kids from Covington wearing their Trump hats around a Native American beating a drum. And then we find out as the more information comes out and more videos come out that that's really not the full story.
Not true.
No, it involves the Black Hebrew Israelites group that we've all seen around Washington, D.C., shouting unspeakable things at these poor kids. And then this Native American drummer walking into the group. Interesting how the media has really not backed away from their original narrative on this.
Not at all. I mean, this poor kid, I feel so bad for him. We're talking about a 16, 17-year-old kid. And all I can say is, look, thank God we did not have smartphones and social media when I was 16 and 17. Honestly, it all came out like right after I graduated high school is when you started seeing a lot of that stuff. And I'm so glad that we don't, because, I mean, literally, this kid, it wasn't even really just the video that was circulating. It was the picture of him smiling while white, which apparently is a crime now.
You don't want to smirk.
The smirk, the assault smirk.
If you put a MAGA hat on the Mona Lisa, she'd be, bigoted
and
racist.
And so, you know, so the whole thing is awful. And, you know, and it just goes round and round and round. And these poor kids have been dragged through this news cycle now for what? We're on day like 5 of this nonsense. NBC is still tweeting, by the way. NBC is still tweeting that debunked narrative that these kids were harassing and taunting Native Americans. They're still tweeting it. It's been 5 days.
And you know why they're still tweeting it? They are pretty sure that nobody is going to take the time. Most people aren't going to take the time to go through a 2-hour video and find out what really happened. So they can pick and choose. And, you know, who's going to listen to the MRC? Who's going to listen to any other, right-wing outlet out there?
A lot of people, though.
Well, apparently. But the truth of the matter is, you know, NBC, look at the power NBC has. It's huge. They reach a zillion people. And they can make the narrative. And it's just a shame that they're so bloody dishonest.
Now, when you mention NBC, you're mentioning the company that kind of owns BuzzFeed, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to link them. Fake news. We'll just start calling them fake. And whenever you hear us say
NBC,
fake news,
BuzzFeed, that's really the conglomerate, right, that exists now.
Well, and you see how a narrative like this, and this is why we do what we do, right? This is why the Media Research Center exists and has for over 3 decades now, is because you see what kind of power the media still holds over people and over the narrative that they believe. People are still posting on Twitter, on social media. I see it all over Facebook. People are still posting the debunked story and opinions about that. And they truly don't know. Like, I actually just got a text while I was sitting here from a friend of mine she's got somebody on her Facebook feed that posted, you know, this same nonsense. And all she sent me was, people are stupid and it makes me sad, which I think is pretty much how you sum up my reaction to you just believe. Some of these people just believe whatever the media is willing to feed them, and they don't even bother to go watch what actually happened. Because, again, it's easier to just believe a headline.
But
so that's
again,
why they do it.
Who has time to spend 2 hours going through a video? I mean, because most
it's
people
the media's
don't
job, though, to get it right.
Well,
I'm sorry,
it is the
it's their job to go through the two-hour
yes.
video.
But we can't trust them to do that. But most people out there really don't, you know, they don't have an opinion. They're not invested enough in the fight, and they're going to, you know, they're just going to listen and say, oh, gee, that's terrible, and move on.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at a lot of the social media feeds, and so many people were duped, putting photos, you know, this poor kid, Sandman, next to this Native American Indian with a smirk, and, oh, you know, I want to punch these kids in the face. You saw people in the media tweet that. You saw people on social media tweet that. And that's the real danger here, is the liberal media is going to get teenage kids hurt or killed or threatened. These kids are doxxed. Their information is out there. They're receiving death threats. And it's all based on a false narrative that, as you mentioned, even to this day, at the hour that we're recording this right now, NBC is still tweeting out that narrative.
Well, and I think, too, one thing that has just been such a stark difference to me is this time almost 1 year ago was the Parkland shooting, right? And the difference between how the media treated the Parkland kids versus these kids. We're talking about the same age group, right? We're talking about high school kids. And you remember back in Parkland, you know, and it was different situations because that wasn't just a video went viral. That was something tragic happened. But then these, you know, a certain group of these kids decided that they were going to take up activism. I think that they were used as prop pieces for the left. And we were told, well, you can't criticize them. They're just children. You can't criticize their activism or the legislation that they support, or when they get up, you know, in a CNN town hall and they call Dana Loesch a murderer to her face. You're not allowed to criticize any of that because they're children. And that was the wall that the left hid behind. They pushed these kids as just kids so that they were somehow immune from all criticism. Now you've got a kid who literally did nothing but smile while wearing a Trump hat. And you have left, we're not even just talking about your average Joe Schmo liberal lunatic. You're talking about, you know, Twitter verified, blue checked marked, you know, liberal personalities, people that are producers in Hollywood, you know, Kathy Griffin, who's a prominent comedian, she's got over 2 million followers, calling for violence against these kids, calling for spreading their personal information online. It's just really interesting when a kid is a kid and when a kid becomes a target, depending on whether or not they fit with the left's narrative.
Yeah, and you know, the fact that you can say with impunity, as the one Hollywood director did, these kids should be put in a wood chipper. Well, you know, there's a huge double standard there, and Twitter is as guilty as anybody of allowing it to go on.
Let me posit this question to you guys. There was a time in the 50s where the black motorcycle jacket became, you know, the epitome of you were a juvenile delinquent, you were a hoodlum, there was informational, you know, you had the old, these young juvenile delinquents are out there causing ruckus with their black leather jackets. And that moved on into the punk movement with the Ramones. It was a fashion statement. You were rebellious if you wore a black leather jacket. Is there anything more rebellious a young teenager can do right now than wear a red MAGA hat? Is there
I don't
anything,
know, because if they become there, a drag queen, it's perfectly okay. So I have no idea at this point what the standard is.
Well, that's it. I mean, you can have purple hair and you cannot know what your gender is because, you know, that's okay. But if you walk into a room as a teenager with a red MAGA hat, is that not just making the most dangerous statement socially that you possibly could? Because look how the liberal media reacts.
Well, actually, it could be worse. You could turn up at a March for Life event.
Oh, clearly.
With a MAGA male.
As a male. With a MAGA hat, a white male, that is the ultimate in transgression these days.
Which really, by the way, just as a side note, drives me absolutely bananas because I was actually at the March for Life. I go to it every single year. I was there this year and I hate how the media, first of all, they never cover the March for Life. Mike Pence called them out for that a couple of years ago. Y'all never cover this thing.
Donald Trump called them out.
You know, y'all never cover this thing. They never cover the March for Life. But the one time that they give it any mention whatsoever is when they can take a white boy wearing a Trump hat, spin a narrative that's not true, and use it to paint the entire March for Life as racist. So as the person who was actually there, because I'm sorry, you know, none of these left-wing lunatics on Twitter were there. There are tens of thousands of women, particularly young women, who show up to that event every single year. So if the left wants to try to use this image, which, you know, was completely misconstrued in and of itself, but they want to spin this as, well, this is what the March for Life is. You know, these boys just showed up to protest against women's rights. No, tens of thousands of women showed up to protest against human rights abuses in abortion. We were all there for it. And it's it drives me insane that they're going to use this to paint the entire March for Life as something that it wasn't, which they would know if they even bothered to show up.
Right. Well, this is,
but they don't,
because of this is the only reason they cover it. And this is interesting. And we'll dovetail into our next topic, which I know Matt Philbin and, wrote a great article on last week and why we brought him on as our guest today. But there's the media narrative when David Dalyden put out the Centers for Medical Progress video showing Planned Parenthood selling baby parts and making money. The Planned Parenthood said, well, these videos are edited, which of course they were, but he also released long, hour-long versions unedited, so you could watch those if you wanted to show that, like, look, yes, it's edited for brevity, but the point is the same. I'm not taking this out of context in any way, shape, or form. But Planned Parenthood said they're edited, they're deceptive, and boy, the media really echoed the deceptive edited videos hurting Planned Parenthood. Well, guess what happened last week? And it seems like they didn't want to give this particular video any coverage.
Crickets.
Yeah, they liked edited videos of teenage kids in MAGA hats.
Right.
But tell us a bit about what happened with the courts last week, man.
Well, it turns out the state of Texas has passed regulation or legislation saying that you can't use Medicaid funds for Planned Parenthood.
State
Medicaid funds. They can't go to Planned Parenthood.
Congratulations, Texas, by the way.
Yes. And part of the reason they cited was these videos, which show that Planned Parenthood is unethical, that it is engaged in, basically, it's engaged in the baby parts trade, an illegal trade, that therefore they were within their rights to cut it off, as they could any business they deemed unethical, any healthcare provider. So they did. There's a lawsuit against the state of Texas. It went to judge in Texas who said, no, these videos, there's no proof that these videos are real, and the state hasn't proved its case, etc. The state appealed to the Fifth Circuit Court, and the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals said, no, the judge was wrong, that the case, that the state can do this. And, oh, by the way, the videos are real. They've been authenticated by a third party outside of this, a party brought in by the court, and they're real. So,
and unedited.
And unedited. Mm-hmm. There is nothing. There's
within
nothing
the
untoward.
Yeah,
within the context.
They're not edited to deceive.
Yes.
They're edited for brevity and time.
And that happened on Thursday. Have you heard about it much?
No, you haven't heard about it at all. And it was so funny because the media beat that narrative to death that these videos were deceptive, that they were untrue. Now we have a court ruling that they're true. We had a congressional committee find that the allegations from these videos were true, that they were selling baby parts for money. And again, they don't want to talk about that, but boy, they loved beating this Covington video that was edited, and they're really having a hard time backing off that narrative because it's not the narrative that they want to tell.
Yeah, absolutely. They have no problem with editing things. They edit things all the time. The media edits things all the time. I mean, look at just about any Trump speech. They'll take a 50-minute Trump speech and they'll grab this tiny soundbite out of it, out of context, and spin it. They've done this over and over again. I think they've lost... You know, again, this is why polls show that Americans increasingly have lost trust in the media because of this. You know, but to me, the secondary issue on top of the media just not talking about it is here you have. I mean, I can't think of anything more heinous than an organization, particularly one that gets over $500 million in taxpayer money every single year, aborting children, pain-capable children in some cases, and selling their body parts, talking about how they're going to use the money to buy Lamborghinis. And they put it out there, and the first thing that the media does, the first thing that the left does is, oh, well, that's not true, that's edited. I don't care which side of the political fence. That should not be a partisan issue. That shouldn't be a media issue. That should be something that if you possess any ounce of humanity, should just absolutely make your blood boil.
It's utterly barbaric.
It's I mean, we're talking about like back in Sparta when they used to chuck babies off cliffs. That's the level that we're talking about here.
Yeah, but they didn't make money off it.
Oh, well, that's true. This is a $1 billion business after all.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, it's basically like threatening the mob. You don't do that because, you know, you're threatening their business.
That's true.
I mean, it's pretty much the same thing, but it almost gets hard to talk about at this point. The fact that this isn't just, I mean, people have fought wars over less. The fact that this country does not have an outcry over stuff like that, you know, which again, I mean, kind of brings us, has anybody talked about New York? At all.
Oh, there's New York. There's the new Planned Parenthood report. There's a lot of things to talk about, but New York is a huge one. You wrote a great story on that on MRC TV today.
Yeah, New York has long since lost his mind. I don't think we're surprising anybody on that. But New York, so this all kind of started a few weeks ago, and the only people that really talked about it were conservative news outlets, because the mainstream media or the liberal media, you know, they tended to kind of talk about it in a glossed over way. So New York governor...
They're busy reporting on fake NBC BuzzFeed stories.
Well, absolutely. Their hands were tied, in all fairness.
If it's true, I always like that that disclaimer that they put
true.
On all those... If it's true, well, you know,
then
this sighting
like
of Bigfoot
of
is really interesting. If it's true, alien invasion of Indiana is interesting. If it's true.
Well, here's one thing that is true. New York today, their Democrat-led state legislature actually passed a bill that legalizes abortion up through the 9th month. So until birth. For any reason, this is something that if you've been keeping up with this at all, and if you haven't, I don't blame you because it hasn't made headlines hardly at all. But this is something that so Governor Andrew Cuomo actually said he was not going to sign the state budget, which he's scheduled to do in April, unless this bill passed. So he was going to hold all state funding hostage. You weren't going to hear that the same way that they talk about Trump doing it. He was going to have a shutdown. But for women's rights, because look, New York already had some of the most permissive abortion laws in the country. They already allow abortions for any reason up through 24 weeks, which is absolutely insane. We're past the point of viability at that point. We're past the point of medical science being able to save a prematurely born baby. Now they did. They don't just want to. They did expand this through the 9th month for any reason at all, as long as you can say that it was for the woman's health. Not her physical health, not if the pregnancy is threatening her life, but her health at all. So her emotional health, her mental health. If she decides, oh, well, it's not good to my mental state for me to have this baby anymore, she can now get an abortion up through the 9th month. And there's actually a video online at mrctv.org in the blog that we wrote about it. This bill passed 38-24, and as soon as it passed, the entire chamber erupted in applause.
Barbarians.
And it's the most blood-curdling sound. And they lit up the One World Trade Center, so the Freedom Tower, which is supposed to represent, you know, human life and freedom and liberty. They lit it up pink to celebrate the passage of this legislation.
So you are now not a human being with rights until you are born in New York,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting because, you know, as the Democrats love to say, they're the party of science. Is the DNA human at conception? Undoubtedly. We have the science to prove that. Is it a being, as in, is it taking in energy to grow, to move? Absolutely. I mean, if you look at it as a positive, negative, either you are taking in energy to move or grow, or you're not. If you're not, you're a rock or you're dead.
Or you're a, you know, tumor or something.
So you are a being. So by definition, they are wrong.
Well, listen, the Democrats are the party in which at 26, you're not an adult, but apparently at 26 weeks, you're not a human. This is bizarre. And I'd just like to say, Cuomo, big phony that he is and big phony that his father was. His father was the first Catholic politician to come up with that. Well, I can't impose my religion into what I think about public issues. It was the first big weasel out of the abortion conundrum for Catholic Democrats, and that has become the default ever since. And it allows them to lie about it. It allows weak sissy bishops to continue to give them, allow them to have communion, this idea that they can separate the two. Meanwhile, you can't be a Catholic and get it on the Supreme Court, apparently. You can't be a Knight of Columbus and be a judge. So they get to have it both ways. But Cuomo is a Catholic, like, I'm a power forward for the New York Knicks. I mean, this is just...
By the way, Matt Philbin is really short, if you haven't met the man.
But mighty.
Well, I wouldn't say really. He's just short. I'll take away the really. Does that make you feel better?
I prefer diminutive.
Okay.
Bastard.
God just lets some things grow until they're perfect. Some things just don't take as long as others. Matt, it's okay. I completely understand.
That's right.
I have sympathy for you. I'm in the same group. No, I mean, it's... And the walls that they hide behind there, because, I mean, you hear the same thing over and over again, right? Like, Nancy Pelosi always touts the fact that she's Catholic. And it's funny when she cares about the kids, because she's all about the kids when it comes to immigration.
And she lies about what church teaching is, actually, on abortion. She's outright lied about it.
Mm-hmm. So, repeatedly. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and so, I mean... And I want to couch this with some positive, because it just, this is such a heavy topic, and, you know, it's so disheartening. You know, there are many states that are pushing back. There are many states that are issuing challenges that they know are going to get hung up in courts, are trying to put abortion restrictions on the books to take it to court, because they want to get to the Supreme Court. They want to challenge Roe versus Wade, which many experts have said could easily be overturned because it was a bad decision based, you know, just on bad information. I mean, it was terrible.
Dumpster fire.
It was horrible decision. And could be easily picked apart by any attorney who knew, you know, who attended law school for
a lot of people are focusing on the state initiatives to take control, and they think those
so
will
there
go to
is
the Supreme
positive
Court.
News. There are positive things.
Yeah, no, there are positive things, and I think to go back all the way back to the Covington kids, the fact that we have so many teenagers taking part in something like the March for Life, it makes you very hopeful. You look at a lot of the latest polls, and so many people agree, like, yeah, you know, scientifically, it is a human being at conception. I guess, you know, Cuomo probably wasn't taking part in those polls. No one called them up. But, you know, you look at that, and overwhelmingly, a lot of people are looking at the science and saying, yeah, there's really no doubt it's a human being here.
Well,
I would like to point out, though, yesterday there was an editorial in the New York Times saying that Roe v. Wade is probably, you know, dead, but here's how liberals can fight back. And it's suggesting that liberals do, you know, the same things that conservatives have done, pro-lifers have done in the states. Further, you know, put forward legislation, you know, on a state level. The New York Times actually suggested that a measure in Pennsylvania would be a good thing because it would allow more women to abort their babies each year. So we're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about a reasonable disagreement. We're talking about their dogma. Mm-hmm. Is abortion is good. It's safe, legal, and raring to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can see this, too, because I talk to a lot of people on social media and in person about abortion. It's an issue that I feel very strongly about and a lot of other people feel very strongly about. And one argument that I keep hearing more and more and more is, you know, you're hearing less of an argument about the humanity. They either don't want to talk about that, or I've actually had many people who will admit this is a human being, because science has proven that. Okay, we're not at the point where that's debatable. That is not subject to your opinion or how you feel or what circumstance you're in. That's basic. What I hear more often now is, well, yeah, it's got rights, but the mother's rights trump their rights. So we're not talking about humanity at that point. We're not talking about science. We're talking about I want what I want, and you can't tell me otherwise.
And it's reduced to the basic level of power play, political power play. Whose rights trump whose?
Which are the same
and
arguments.
Who gets more power?
The same arguments that were used to justify slavery. It was the same exact argument. Well, this person, yeah, they're human, but they're only 3/5 human compared to this other person over here. So this person's rights trump their rights. It was the same exact argument.
And just like back then, the government is helping support and fund Planned Parenthood. Their new report came out. We're almost out of time, but I want to tap into this. $536 million.
500 and it was 563.8. 563.8. Their latest annual report just came out, and that's across federal, state, and local government grants and reimbursements. They say that makes up about 34% of their total budget, which is $1.6 billion. So if that gives you any indication of why they fight so hard for this, it's because they make billions off of this. They gave one, according to their own numbers, one adoption referral for every 118 abortions that they did.
How many
abortions? Their abortions actually went up.
Yeah.
Their abortions actually went up over 10,000 from last year. It's a volume business. They did 332,757 abortions in fiscal year 2018. That equates to almost 1,000 abortions a day. 1,000 abortions a day. So again, you wonder why they fight so hard for this. You wonder why they push so hard for this. It's not about women's rights. It's not about what's best for women. It's not about providing holistic care. They provided less than 10,000 prenatal services that same year. They don't do a single mammogram. They don't own the machinery to do mammograms. This is not about healthcare. This is about abortions, and it's about money.
And
at the end of the day.
Unfortunately, it's about time for us to wrap up the show. We thank you for joining us. We'll be back again next week. Matt, thanks for being with us.
Where's my check?
I'd like to know where mine is, actually. Are we paid for this?
I'll look at the producer and say, where's our checks?
Our producer is drinking coffee right now. He's not even listening.
Until then, I'm Eric Shiner.
I'm Brittany Hughes. We'll see you guys next time.